All right. If you have a Bible with you, again, we encourage, until I see everyone bringing their Bibles and flipping the pages, your personal Bibles, please bring them and turn with me to Lamentations. We're continuing our series on Through the Bible. We're like, man, that's kind of halfway through, right? More than half. 5,000 years of history in the Old Testament, 1,000 years of history in the New Testament, and we're almost getting to the New Testament. Lamentations chapter 3, if you could all rise for the reading, if you're able, of God's Word, if you could all stand up. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 27. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 27. This is God's word to us this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. You may be seated. Let me pray for us. If you could, one more time, join me in prayer. Again, online, if you're watching, please bow your heads with me and ask for God's help now. I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but your apostle said, yes, but he's seeking the power of your spirit to go to places that we ourselves won't go, to cut us, slay us to the heart. Oh, how our hearts often is full of pride. We think too well of ourselves. Oh Lord, give us a sober judgment. Give us eyes as you examine our hearts. May we be broken before your contrite heart, before you now. Soften our hearts as you show us many of the things in our hearts that rebel against you, just like the Israelites, as your servants, the prophets, have spoken and seen the depths of their hearts. Oh Lord, help us now, your people here. I pray that we would, as a church, as a congregation, as your sons and daughters, repent before you and turn from those ways back to you. I pray. So help us now. Be our teacher. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen and amen. Let me state the goal of why you are here at this thing called the assembly or the church. The reason, maybe you have a lot of reasons why you are here. Let me give you the reason why Jesus came and why he resurrected from the dead and why he did all these things and why he sent his Spirit down to the church is to get you ready. Not to permanently live here. This is a temporary place, remember? This is an exile. We are aliens here, not permanent residents here. We're residents of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus ushered in. Not in Matthew, but in starting from Genesis chapter 12. A new creation. A second beginning for God's people. That's why you're here. To get us ready, forsaking our sins, all kinds of sins, and getting us ready to live in a perfect kingdom called the kingdom of heaven, or whatever you want to call it, a heaven where God lives forever with his people, forever in fellowship with the triune God. That's why you're here. To get us ready to live in that place. And one of the things that the prophets are dealing with is, of course, the nation's sin. The prophet's main responsibility is not to predict a future per se. He was sent by God. He was sent with God's word to confront people's sin. First with the leaders on down. And to bring them back to God. That was the goal. The prophets did predict, however, what would happen if they didn't listen to the prophets. God's threat of war and punishment was real. But in all the prophets, as you will see this morning, there's always a message of hope. There was an offer of peace. If you turn and repent. Remember what repent is? Not say, I'm sorry, and keep going the wrong way. That do not please God. Repentance is not doing the thing and turn and go the other way. That's repentance. That's true repentance. And we will see at the end, that is a mark of a true Christian who lives a life, a daily life of repentance. As a daily thing. A daily business for God's people. Every day turning from their sin, whatever that might be. And going the other way. And if you did that, the promise was, God would forgive the nation of Israel. Remove their sin as far as east is from the west. And restore once again the full fellowship. When God forgives your and my sin, when we repent of it, he actually forgives it and he forgets about it. He doesn't remember it anymore. He doesn't keep a record like you and I would when people hurt us. An awesome God. Yahweh, the compassionate God, our God in Christ Jesus, when he forgives us, when we repent of our sins, turn our backs, he forgives us completely. Doesn't remember no more. But if the nation didn't, the prophets predicted, if you and I do not repent and turn our backs against sin, the prophets predicted there'll be a disaster. This disaster in the Bible comes in many different forms. Let me give you a list of some. Elijah, the prophet Elijah predicted a drought of 3 years if God's people did not repent of their sins. Joel predicted swarms of locusts that would destroy their crops. Jonah predicted a disaster to the Ninevites. Habakkuk predicted the Assyrians' army and their onslaught. Isaiah predicted destruction of the Sennacherib's army. Each disaster that the prophets predicted was fitting for the recipient party, whether it was God's enemy who were destroyed or God's people were punished. Now, maybe somebody, which I've been thinking all last year and even now, is COVID-19 a punishment from God to this nation, to this world, and to God's people? And I've heard all kinds of, from pastors on down. I'm not sure. Personally, I don't know. There are examples in the Bible that God did this, a natural disaster. Man, look at the fall. It's in the Bible. And it's pretty clear. In the Noah's flood, the reason was because of the wickedness of God, the people that he created. And there was destruction. Everyone was destroyed for their sin. Except one family. They also went through. A disaster. Though saved from most of. Destruction of their lives. Is there? I'm not sure. I think there's examples in the Bible that God does this. For reasons in his infinite wisdom that we don't know. God did that with me personally. I've said this many times, but I think it was so personal because he touched me in a way that I didn't think he would touch me. And I think that's one of the reasons what he did with the Israelites. They were shocked. The book of Lamentation, God's people were shocked that God would do this to his own people that he loves. The second thing that the prophets promise, if you don't listen, obviously there'll be a disaster. But if you listen to the prophet and heeded the warnings of the prophet, turn back to God, the promises is that he will forgive you. And this raises, again, I think one of the questions that I think you have and I have. I think the Israelites, I didn't think they believed it. The question is this. How could God decree such a painful and ruinous punishment on a people that he loves? Know that one of the reasons why the Israelites did not heed the prophet's message is because they fought. Right? Yeah, we sin. But God, I'm not going to do that. A harsh punishment to his own people that he covenanted with. Special people. God's favorites. God can't possibly do that to us. Can he? God will certainly would not treat, maybe other nations God will treat this way, but his own people? God's people have a peculiar pride. I think you and I, being God's favorites, we have a pride in our hearts, just like the Israelites. They thought, and maybe you think, because we are God's chosen in Christ, that God would never treat you harshly, even if you're guilty of sinning against them. And again, we find out in the book of Lamentation is God's people's utter shock under the punishment
the punishing hand of God.
God will not tolerate. He will not tolerate a rebellious people. And He will not hold back from causing devastation and misery, even on His own people. Let me say that one more time. God will not tolerate a rebellious people. He will not hold back causing devastation and misery, even upon His own people. I think the Israelites and you and I have a very little understanding of the holiness of God and the glory of God. Sin is an assault. Sin is an assault against God's holiness and His glory. It's a slap in His face of all the things that God has already done for you. You know why God was so angry with the Israelites when they made the golden calf, remember? He was about to wipe out a whole nation that He rescued from Egypt. He rescued from Egypt, split the Red Sea, gave Him the law to make them a nation under God, a true worship. And what was the thanks that God gave, the thank that they gave to God? To worship a false god. That's a slap in His face. The goodness of God, this is the thanks you give by sinning against Him. And God was so angry. He was so passionate. There's something wrong when we think that love of God or how God loves us is when He says, oh, don't worry about your sin. No, it's all right. No, it's not! Sin is not okay! He's angry. He's disappointed on God's people. And yet, God gives God's people another chance. Last chance to turn from their sin and come back to Him. It is true that God gives us chances after chances, warnings, even to the last minute, to repent and turn around. But eventually, if we won't listen to His warnings, He will use the rod of discipline to wake you up, to wake the Israelites up from their sin. Look what He says in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. A lot of you guys are very familiar with this verse. Look what He says in verse 10. Why the discipline happens to His own children. My son, see that? My son. These are his loved ones. These aren't just any kids. These are His precious flesh and blood. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises, as the old word for punishment, and punishes every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirit and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good. And here's the one, why He disciplines us and why He disciplined the Israelites. That we what? That we may share in His what? Holiness.
And it's remarkable that this verse that we just read, the passage this morning, the steadfast love of the Lord, I was shocked. You know, there's actually a song it goes, steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never comes to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy... I thought that song was like, it was just a warm song. You know, it's a positive. God's mercy and his love, oh yes, it's good. Or if for years singing that song, I never knew that that phrase was from in the midst of God punishing his people, his loved ones. He was recalling, the prophet was recalling for God's people, look, the steadfast love of the Lord is not only when we feel good, you know? Man, his love is so good, his steadfast love, he gives us all these things, you know? He blesses us. Mercy is good. But this verse, the prophets recalled, is in the midst of a punishment, a pain. In the midst of a broken relationship with God and his people. The Hebrew word, now I always say that you don't need to know Hebrew. Seriously, you don't need to know Greek. The Hebrew word for steadfast love is the word hesed. Okay? That same word is the same word that the Greek New Testament uses is for the word agape. It's a profound word. The unconditional love in the midst of a punishment of his people. I mean, do you have a category in your mind of a steadfast love of God in the midst of when things go bad? I hope you do, because God sometimes does this to his people when you and I stiff arm him and don't listen to his warnings, the sins in our hearts. It's because of his steadfast love, because of this agape hesed, that he is doing this to you, to wake you up, to turn back to God. Because of his steadfast love, he has to punish us. Is that in your category when you think about the love of God and his faithfulness? This is how God feels. Look what he says. Now, this is not on the transparency, but listen. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. It's a prophecy of Jesus. And look what he says. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the, again, the word, chastisement, punishment, that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. By this we know, John, a famous verse, 1 John 3:16. John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. And 1 John 3:16 says this, by this we know love, the steadfast love, the agape love, that he laid down. Now, put Isaiah 53 in this phrase. When he laid down a sacrificial agape love, he was punished for your and my sin.
God is passionate about your and my sin. He hates it. There must be a punishment. Wrath. The agape love that God has for you and me was in the midst of a punishment. It was in the midst of death and suffering and pain. Not that you went through it. No. Someone else went through that punishment instead. Jesus has to go through this punishment and death and suffering for your and my sake. This agape love is the same thing as the steadfast love of the Lord in the Old Testament. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I don't know if it's on there. Great. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Now, right now you might be thinking, oh, yes, Christ took the punishment for me. I don't have to go through it. And I could just sin all I want, right? Wrong. That's the mistake that many Christians think. The notion that we have repented of our sin when we were born again, became a Christian, wherever that might be. I was 19. I don't know when you devoted yourself to the Lord, saw Christ, and became a Christian, were baptized. That incident that you confess, that there is no more repenting of our sins. Because there's no more punishment, right? No more discipline. Yeah, God says to his people, don't sin, but, you know, Jesus took the punishment. I'm not gonna, you know, I'll be okay. Even though you tell me I shouldn't sin. You are dead wrong, God's people. The first act of repentance when you are born again is an open door to God's healing hand. There's much sin in your hearts. There's much rebellion in your hearts even now. Ignorance, pride, jealousy, envy, adultery, hatred, scores of other sins in your hearts, even after you are truly converted. Can I just talk to some of the young folks here? I think older folks, perhaps. You know, when I became a Christian when I was 19, I was listening to all kinds of music. Trash! I was watching all kinds of trash out in the world. I was so ignorant. Actually, I didn't even know all the stuff that's putting into my mind. Music after music. Watching movies after movies. TV shows. Good night. It's almost like pornography these days. And I think we say things like, oh, that's all right. God still loves me. You young folks, be careful. It took a while for me to change
And it's going to take a while for you to change the process of sanctification. The job that God started in the beginning of your Christian walk, when you confessed, is the beginning of your lives consisting in rooting out those persistent sins and putting them to death. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 3, 5 through 10. Colossians, this is Paul talking to Christians in the church. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked. The things that you did. And you were living in them. But now, now you must put them all away. All the filthy trash that I was listening to, I need to put them away. People need to tell me. I'm actually pretty embarrassed that I used to listen to a lot of that stuff out there. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Now, practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Sanctification is a daily business for you. Putting off the sin. We have to, I said, daily repent of your sin. We must live the life of repentance if we have any hope to overcome our sin. The wise Christian will realize this. When you come to God in daily prayer, you know, our church right now is going through prayer. If you're wise, taking care of your sin is always the first item on God's agenda for you. If you don't do that, if you ignore, and if you don't listen to what God is telling you, I don't have to tell you what your sins are. Come on, you guys know. I know. And if you bury it under the rug, and if you keep ignoring the nudging of the Spirit of God through the Bible or through the preaching or through other godly men and women in your lives, watch out. First sign that God would not listen to your prayer. He won't. If you keep ignoring sins in your lives. I don't care how fervently you pray, 2021. That's the first item that God sees right in Sam's heart and my heart. And He wants you to deal with that. Work on that. Not hide it. You know, one of the things that I hate when my kids do this. Right? I don't mind if they eat candy in the morning. They're not supposed to. In our house, candy in the morning is not a house rule. No candy in the morning. No candy at night, because they gotta sleep, right? Maybe candy like after lunch. But of course, my angels, of course, kids, they don't listen. They break the house rules.
I know when my kids are up to no good when they're silent.
Where are they?
Can't hear anything. And I ask them, and I already know. I see the wrapper. I see the evidence. You know, I see it in the trash.
It's amazing what you could find out about kids and what they did, you know, from looking at the trash. Trash can.
You see the evidence. You see the wrapper.
And if they told me at the moment, like, Dad, yeah, I did it. I'm sorry. And yeah,
that'd be good, you know? But if they say, no, I didn't. They don't come honest with their crime. They try to bury it. That's when I get all worked up.
When you come to God in prayer, God already sees your heart, remember?
He sees it. You're open book to Him. And He hates it. He hates it when you ignore Him. Ignore that sin that you know. You know.
Learn. I love this parable. I feel like every time I read it, I just get joy in my heart. I often quote this verse because I want to learn from this man. Most of us are not like this man. I don't think so. Look at what this man does when he comes to God in worship and prayer. I don't know what you thought when you came to this church to worship God. It should be your sin. It should be. I don't know if anyone here said, oh, my Jesus, I'm perfect. Baloney. No, you got sin in your heart. I got sin in my heart to work on. Look at this man. Learn from this man. Look at the first agenda in his heart. He understood the steadfast love of the Lord. The agape love. Luke chapter 18, 10 through 14. Don't be like this religious man on the outside showing off to other people. Yeah, I am a leader. I read my Bible. I tithe. I pray. See? The two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other the tax collector. The Pharisee standing by himself prayed thus, God, I thank you. You see that? He thanks God. Seems pretty good guy, right? God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Often dislike this tax collector, you know? Fast twice a week. Tithe a lot. Get. Verse 13, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. Beat his breast. I can just watch him. And what did he say? What do you say when you pray to God? Give me this, God. Is that what you do? Not this man. And if you don't give it to me, God, I'm not going to go to church. If you don't give it to me, I'm not going to serve. If you don't give it to me, if my life in 2021 don't go the way that I made it and designed it, then my spiritual life will go tank. We often bargain with God. Amazing. What kind of prideful sinner we are. What do you say? God, be merciful to me. A what? A sinner. Ding! Light shines. All the angels are singing. God loves when a sinner, you and me, approach God's throne in prayer like that. What about you? What's the first item on your agenda when you
go to God, when you worship God, is to take care of your sin like this man and cry out for mercy. Repent. Turn. I mean, you could tell the emotion of this man. He wants to turn. He's so ashamed of his sin. He's not proud of it. I tell you, this man went down to his wife justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I pray that 2021, that you will be like this man. With your sin, whatever that might be, as God, through the prophet, shows you your and my sin. Let's pray. Father in heaven, even though we hear and read the warnings, just like the Israelites, your people, many of us still refuse to listen to your steadfast love of the Lord in giving us another chance, another warning, to repent of our sins and turn back to you. Oh Lord, help us. Change our hearts. Oh Creator God, that you will put forth in our hearts that's not there, and you will speak and put a heart that is humble, humility of seeing a rebellion in our hearts, that we will repent of them, turn from them, and turn back to you. Lord, make that miracle happen in our lives, in this church. I pray. Help us. May we understand this steadfast love of the Lord, not to remain in our rebellion, but to turn our ways, our sin, and you receive back, receive us back completely, 100%. Help us now. Give us that wisdom that we need. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.